You are listening to a podcast of the Geek.io Media Network. For all of our shows and more, visit geek-io.net. And to help support the network, head over to patreon.com/geek.io.
What is up, everybody? Welcome back to Life of an Accounting Droid. I'm your host, as always, Neil, bringing you episode number 82. So, got enough of an episode for you, everyone, today. So, the usual theme, a little bit of news. Follow-up app reviews, kind of cheating, but I did end up purchasing a app that I talked about a few weeks ago, so I wanted to share a setup that I had created using it just to play around a little bit more with it. And then some entertainment, so one bit of news of what I watched, a TV show review that's back, and we'll round out the episode with the Star Wars profile. So with that, I will jump right into the episode. So to start it off, this week's theme is credit criteria. So these are financial and accounting characteristics used by lenders to analyze prospective borrowers. So in layman's terms, this is basically when a bank or company wants to give or do business with another company and decide how much or how they want to give them business. So do they want to prepay money or ask for money up front? Do they want to send a COD, so payment when they get the product? Or do they want to give them terms? So net 1, net 30, net 60, or even go so far as to give them a discount on paying early, for example. So the credit criteria are things that you look at in order to determine those terms. Things that are reviewed are typically things like assets, liability, income, expenses, credit history. So the general financial performance of that company and how much they actually have to determine not only the terms that you're going to give them, but how much you're going to let them borrow against what you're selling them. Other things that you can check against are trade references for relative performance. So what kind of terms do they have with competitors of yours, and how much or how do they do business with those customers? So do they have a credit line, and do they pay on time? Do they pay late? Have they bounced any checks, or have they submitted a payment, then delayed on the payment, things like that. Credit limits can also be set, or usually set, based on credit rating, personal income, how much that company has on hand to begin with. So, for example, the customer might want to have a $50,000 credit limit with you, but they only have $10,000 in the bank. So a red flag, for example, for me would be, well, if they're asking for $50,000, then how, let's say in the worst case scenario, they're going to buy that much product. Well, if they don't have the money in the bank, then how are they going to pay for it? So you'll want to take that into consideration. And also things like, well, they do have most likely do business with other people in addition to yourself. So yeah, that $10,000 is going to be split among different various other vendors as well. So you may not even want to give them that full $10,000 that they have. You may want to even consider giving them less. So that's all there is for that. So with that, I will jump into this week's tech news. So to start it off, Facebook launched a native app this week for Apple TV, Amazon Fire TV, and Samsung Smart TV. So if you want to browse Facebook on the big screen, there's now native apps for that. Google's fact check tag has been expanded in Google News to now work in Brazil, Mexico, and Argentina. So if you want to know if an article is accurate or not, then you'll be able to more easily get the accurate information. Google expanded fun facts and now include custom search queries. So if you want fun facts for things for more specific things, then you can do that. So if you want a fun fact about accounting or Android or iOS or something like that, you could just do a search like that, like Android fun facts, and you'll get some fun facts. Google Play Services version 10.2 started rolling out this week, and it will now drop support for Android Gingerbread and Honeycomb. So now that they're older devices, the support for those will be phased out. And finally, NBA VR has been updated or released to now support Android Daydream. So if you want to watch basketball games in VR, that will now work for you. But that's all there is for that. So with that, I'll jump into this week's app review. So in this case, it's an Android app / live wallpaper called Custom Live Wallpaper. I talked about the free version a few weeks ago. But now I want to talk about, or wanted to talk about, the pro version and a setup that I created after playing around with it for a little bit. So I was looking around a while back, or last week again, for some Zooper widget themes, and I came across articles, or an article saying that official support had been discontinued. I think I had known that, but I saw that and that just refreshed my memory, and I actually did save up enough money to buy the Pro Key for a custom live widget, custom live wallpaper maker. So the notable thing that this allows is, or the two notable things it allows is, if you save your themes, you can export them and share them with other users of the pro version of custom live wallpaper, but you can also import other users' themes. So if you like something you see online, then you can save that live wallpaper. It'll probably have that extension .klwp. You can load it up into the app and then make any adjustments that you want or not if you don't want to, and set it as your live wallpaper, and it's as simple as that. Exporting is also relatively straightforward, so once you have a layout that you like and you want to share it with other users, you'll go into the menu, you'll hit export theme, and you'll give it a name, you'll type in a description of whatever you want to add, so if you want to say the wallpaper source or what it's for, any other relevant information, then you can include that, and then you can include your author name and your email address, so if you want people to want to give people access to get in touch with you about it, you can do that as well. So with that, I'm going to jump into a layout that I created where I'm calling it kind of a picture frame layout, where I have a picture in the top half of my screen, but I use the bottom half to set up menus and animations and things like that. So in order to get that that picture frame look, what I did is, the first thing you're going to want to do is to have an image that you want to have as your wallpaper. And then you'll install an app called InstaSize. It is available for free. It's available in Google Play and for iOS, although you're going to be doing all the rest of this on Android device. So once you have that installed, you're going to open up the image, and then in the collage picker, you're going to pick just the top two picture modes, so a picture on the top, picture on the bottom. If you only have that one picture on your device, for example, you can just load that again on the bottom. You may need to reset the top half as well, but if not, then don't worry about it. But if you do, reset the app so it's in the center. The bottom image, you're gonna basically just slide all the way to the right, so it's outside of the frame, outside of the boundaries of the image on the top. You'll then set the background color if you want something other than white. So if you want a white background or white wallpaper, you can leave it there, but I have it set to black. And then from here, you're going to either export the image into Snapseed if you prefer that, or your gallery, or whatever photo editor you want. And you're going to crop the picture to only encompass the width of whatever the picture you have saved. So that way you now have a nice portrait image that only covers... So basically the top half of that image that you saved is the picture that you want, and the bottom half is a black or green or red or whatever color you picked, bottom half. So for me, that's important because I want to, for example, if I have a wide wallpaper, then it fits easily. And whatever background color I have makes it easier to read any overlay text. So once you have that image cropped, you're going to go into custom live wallpaper and create a blank template. And then you're going to, the first thing I did here was I set the background image. So the one we saved will load it in. I turned off, or you can turn off the scrolling if you want, but that's totally optional. And then you can set blurring options and dim options. So if you want to, if it's a bright image and you want to kind of dim it down, then you can do that as well, but that's all optional. And then from here, you're going to start adding your various elements for what you want to do. The next step is to set a global switch if you want to have a menu set up. So the global switch is basically what happens when you push a button. So you're going to add a global setup and select switch and call it whatever name you want. You can call it something generic if you want multiple menus to pop up with one button press, or if you want kind of a toggle that turns various elements on and off all at once. But if you're going to have multiple menus, it's important to have a specific name set up, like contact, media, photography, things like that, whatever is specific to your menus. So that way you have multiple switches and you can tie them specifically to specific icon or text presses. Once you have that done, you're going to now go into your items list and set up the menu shortcuts, so it can be either text or icon or an image. whatever you pick, you're going to also rename that to whatever it is, so you have a specific menu set up. And you're going to associate your touch action with this button. So when you hit, so you're going to go over, scroll all the way to the right under that item, when you're in that item, and select, and under the touch menu, you're going to hit add, and the touch element is when you hit the global switch, you're going to pick the one you just created. And you can set various options, like if it's an image or a icon, that when you press a button, it scales down to imitate a button press. And then you can have a follow-up action that when you are on your individual menu items, that when you touch that menu item, it hits the global switch again, so it pops that image back to its default state. So once you have that set up, you're now going to create your menu items one by one. So these can also be icons or text, and you'll pick whatever element or whatever element type you want. So whether it is an icon, image, text, whatever. And you're going to follow the same steps, except you're going to, under the touch action, you're going to set launch app and select the app you want to launch. So if you set Facebook or Twitter or Pocket Cast or whatever app you want your shortcut is for, you're going to hit that touch action, and then you're going to do a second touch action to toggle that global switch. So now that once you launch that app, your button that you press will resume back to its normal size. Or if you selected fade, then it'll, if you have it fade out a little bit or rotate, it'll resume, it'll go back to its original state. Under animation, you're going to also, you're going to pick the switch that the is related to whatever menu group you're working on. So is, you're going to hit the plus sign under animation, and you're going to set the react on global switch and whatever switch you set up. That way, when you hit the button, so let's say you're doing a contacts group and you have a, the contacts icon, and you press that button, and let's say you have your phone, Hangouts, and WhatsApp set up under that menu, and let's say you hit you touch your Hangouts shortcut. When you hit that Hangout shortcut, having the React on is important, because without that, it's not going to show up as under your menu item. And then also when you touch it, you want your menu to close. Having that under that global switch set up under the touch action for that menu item is important, so it auto closes that menu. So you don't have to manually close it. So it basically simulates whatever additional features you want. So like that fade action or fly scroll in action, or zoom in, whatever you pick will be set up there. And then from here, essentially you don't actually have to repeat any of these steps when you're working within the menu group, because you can copy and paste the various elements. So you can touch the little checkbox to the right of your menu item. So let's say you do have, you're still in that contacts group and you set up your phone shortcut. You'll copy and paste that. You'll rename the new item that you just pasted to whatever you want, let's say Hangouts. And then you'll go in, and all you have to do is change the position of that text or icon, change the app shortcut, and you're all done with that. And you keep doing that for whatever menu items you want to change. And then, of course, the thing to remember is to move your various elements to wherever you want on your screen. So when you push your shortcut, or your, sorry, your icon or text for contacts, that they show up wherever you want them to. So in the video for the setup that I've created, you'll see that I have the text in particular areas. And the beauty of having a specific place for the text to show up is you can copy the entire group, paste it as a new group, and all you have to do is rename everything, change the global switch toggles, change the names and the shortcuts, and everything else stays the same. So you know that whatever you're doing is gonna work exactly, every group you set up or every menu you set up is gonna work exactly the same as every other group. So that's all there is for that. So it might, if it sounds a little bit complicated, I do go through that in the video step by step. So you get to see the start, the end result that I have, and then the same process going through step by step, one by one, to create the image, set that as a background in KLWP, and then also creating a menu item to launch favorite apps. So you get to see kind of the reactions and setups that go on there. So with that being said, I will jump right into this week's entertainment segment. So to start it off with one bit of news, Star Wars announced that The Last Jedi, so Star Wars Episode 8 toys, collectibles, etc. are going to be released at the fan event on September 1st, 2017. So look out for that. And then we also got a brand new teaser poster for that event as well. So it's that image you see in the episode image for this particular episode. As far as what I watched, I had the chance to watch the usual stuff. So MacGyver Season 1, Episode 15, Magnifying Glass. Black Sails Season 4, Episode 3, I guess Chapter 31. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Season 4, Episode 14, The Man Behind the Shield. And The Expanse Season 2, Episode 4, Godspeed. And in case you're wondering why I didn't bring up The Walking Dead, no need to worry. I'm actually reviewing that for this week's TV show review. So continuing in the tradition of, or the general tradition, I'm not sure how, if I'm 100% as far as the mid-season premieres and finales go, but I know I generally try to review the premieres and finales, but I had a chance to watch Season 4, Episode 9, Rock in the Road. The episode itself aired on February 12, 2017, with a summary that Jesus leads the group to the kingdom to convince King Ezekiel to help them and the hilltop against the saviors. Back at Alexandria, Father Gabriel falls into a trap. So overall, it was a very good episode. I enjoyed it. The only thing that really didn't make sense that much to me was the Father Gabriel part at the beginning. I guess I don't know if he was under control of whoever was leading him to steal the supplies, but I guess he stole all the supplies and he escaped with all of that in one of the cars, and no one's sure where he went. But I guess when the group was back at Alexandria and were looking around trying to figure out what happened, they found a note that he had left behind. But as far as the episode goes, I enjoyed it quite a bit, as I said. The first thing that came to attention right off the bat was when Jesus gets to King Ezekiel's kingdom. How did he forget to tell them about the tiger, especially when they walk in? But I did like that communication between Jesus and Rick, where Jesus is like, oh yeah, I forgot. And Rick's like, yeah, a tiger. But I enjoy that. I enjoy seeing their people's reactions there. Next up, though, it's a good thing that Daryl listens to Rick. So I guess Rick's prudence of having Daryl stay at the kingdom was a good idea, because we do have the Savior show up looking for him. And it would have been really bad if Daryl was there when they got there. Next up, good thing Father Gabriel accidentally helped the group with the food relocation. So this, as I was mentioned a little bit earlier, that's the thing that kind of bothered me, that why was he stealing food? Was he escaping? Was he trying to figure out how to be on his own? So based on what I could, I guess, some sort of tell, and I think I'm wrong on this, but I guess he was going to leave the note and he accidentally forgot, or he dropped it there on purpose to make it look like it was a hurried escape. But we'll see how that pans out. I'm kind of curious to see where they go with that. And finally, when did Rosita become the demolitions expert? So, I'm kind of happy that we have Rosita in this role where she knows how to take up or analyze demolitions. We have a bigger role for her to play, and it is good that she is taking charge, so at least she has something to do, is spending less time thinking about Abraham, so I helped to help move on and recover and all of that. But the only thing that really bugged me was that where did this come from all of a sudden? But I guess she probably could have been under the nose of Abraham, so no one really knew that she had these talents, but it's good to see her breaking out. So overall, I'm glad that The Walking Dead is back, so can't wait to continue watching the season. But overall, a good continuation of the show. And of course, I liked Rick's random happy face at the end of the episode, and I'm kind of curious to see who the people are, if they are the termites or if they are somebody else or some other group that we already know of. But that is all for that, so with that, I'll jump into this week's Star Wars profile. And for this week, I wanted to talk about deflector shields. So deflector shields in the Star Wars universe are basically, as we know obviously, that they're there to protect ships, battle stations, structures, and armies. They come in two general forms. The first is ray shields, to deflect and scatter energy, so basically keeping items in keep things out. And then particle shields, to protect from high velocity attacks. So basically ray shields are for slow moving objects, particle shields for high velocity attacks. There are also concussion shields, so I guess a third type actually as well, but they are there to protect from slow moving objects. So All sorts. So there are basically there's different shields to accommodate different sorts of scenarios. From what I read, basically starships or larger starships will employ a mix of all three types of shields. So they are protected from a wide variety of attacks and incursions and things like that. But smaller structures, devices, armies, and things like that will have more localized shields in use depending on what they actually need them for. And of course, portable shields have limited durability, so they, when they're under continuous attack, they will eventually fail, and they'll change from blue to yellow to red as they fail and lose power. So it is good to know exactly the extent of your shields and to use the right one in the right scenario. But that is all for this particular episode. So if you have any questions, comments, concerns, or anything like that, you can always email me at headphonesneil@yahoo.com. You can find me on Twitter at PatelN01 if you want to reach out to me there. All subscription links, social media links, so a Facebook group or Google+, Twitter, YouTube, and all that can be found on the website at PatelN01.com. You know, you can, of course, find all video reviews, and if you want to subscribe there as well, you can visit YouTube.com/PatelN01. Of course, if you like this show and want to listen to more shows on the Geek.io network, you can always visit geek-io.net. But that's all for this particular episode. Thanks for tuning in, and until next time.